We are talking, doing a little mini-series on children in the Bible. We're talking specifically about three children that are mentioned in the Bible, today being that third one, and then tonight we will start talking about children, if you will, from an adult's perspective in Scripture. Today is King Josiah. Last week we talked about the little lad that had the two fishes and five loaves. And Sunday night we talked about King David. And so today we're going to be talking about King Josiah. Why are we doing this? Because we would be kicking off church camp tonight if COVID-19 had not happened. And the such, it has happened. It is happening. And you know, we're just going to do the best we can with what God is giving us, if you will. I'm going to ask you to suppress your desire and need to know names. But I just want you to know that we have people, and we need you to do the same, that if you find out that you were exposed to COVID-19, stay home for a couple weeks. Amen. You know, we've got folks still, and we encourage this, they're staying home because of their current condition. They haven't been exposed to COVID. They're trying to keep that from happening because if they were to get it, it would probably be a death sentence type thing, lung issues. You know, if you just got a compromised health situation, you probably need to avoid gatherings. We respect that. We get that. And as a church, very honestly, soon we need to start having some conversations on how we can make sure that these people are not forgotten, that they're hearing from us. Now, don't get me wrong. Our deacons are doing their job. Our Sunday school teachers are doing their job. Your pastor's trying to do his job. But they need to hear from all of us type thing at some point in time. But just got a call, text last night. Brother Ben, I was exposed this week, so you're not going to see me for a couple weeks. I told him, thank you. Thank you. And so I'm hearing more and more of that throughout the community, not just within our ranks here. So to now put a fine focus, 2 Kings chapter 22, and we're going to read, it's not a long chapter, but we're going to read that chapter in a little bit of 23. There's also a segment in Chronicles that we will not be referring to, but if you wanted to read more about King Josiah. King Josiah lost his dad because of assassination at 8 years old, and he was crowned king at 8 years old. Now, you know, and I've told Mandy this before, I keep thinking of things, how to use her kids, but then, it's taking the time and building all the props and all that, but I visualized Brent and Levi and maybe a couple others bringing in Bo, who's 9 years old, I believe, on a little, you know, king cart in here to kind of give you the visual of how young, there's Bo, right back there, how young this king was. And, you know, we think of a king, we think of a strapping young man at the very least, if not an older, a middle-aged guy, fully filled out and the such, and he's a king. Well, you know, can you imagine if King Josiah was built like Bo? You know, your first thought would not be, oh my. Your first thought would be, oh no. You know, he's our king. Well, let me tell you, dynamite comes in small packages, Bo. Dynamite comes in small packages. And so here we go. Let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. So 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adai of Botzkath. And he did that which was right in the eyes of Jehovah. And very honestly, that right there says it all. He did that which was right in the eyes of Jehovah, and walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, and if my math's right, that means he's 26 years old, that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of Jehovah, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the money which is brought into the house of Jehovah, which the keepers of the threshold have gathered to the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the workmen that have the oversight of the house of Jehovah, and let them give it to the workmen that are in the house of Jehovah to repair the breaches of the house. So that's a lot of King James speak for. He told this man to go refurbish the temple, make it happen. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, for they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of Jehovah. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen that have the oversight of the house of Jehovah. And Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king, and it came to pass, here it is, 26-year-old Josiah, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. Now, this was symbolic, but it was symbolic from the standpoint that you were so moved with emotion that you would rip the clothes off of your chest because of what you just heard. And it was a sign of repentance. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Akim the son of Shaphan and Akbar the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Isaiah the king's servant, saying, Go ye inquire of Jehovah for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of Jehovah that is kindled against us. So in that book, most scholars believe he read the book of Deuteronomy. He heard the words of God that if you, Israel, depart from my word, I will, and he pronounced a judgment. Because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that which was written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest and Akim and Akbar and Shaphan and Isaiah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Haras, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, Thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, Tell ye the man that sent you unto me, Thus saith Jehovah, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place. In other words, I'm going to do exactly what my book says that I'm going to do, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that's idolatry, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and it shall not be quenched. But boy, aren't you so thankful, church? Look at that next word. But unto the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of Jehovah, thus shall ye say to him, Thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thy heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before Jehovah, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes, and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith Jehovah. Therefore, behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. And now looking at the next chapter. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah of Jerusalem. And the king went to the house of Jehovah, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of Jehovah. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before Jehovah to walk after Jehovah and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to confirm the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priest of the second order and the keepers of the threshold to bring forth out of the temple of Jehovah all the vessels that were made for Baal. And that's a false god, and for the Asherah, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priest, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the hosts of heaven. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. Father, you know that we need a holy fire to burn in us. We need a revival to reignite us for you, to convict us of our idolatrous ways. I pray, Father, that you will use this 8-year-old's example and his 31-year reign of holiness to light a fire in us. Father, we ask that you would help our young people, as Hannah is doing, as Rachel is doing, many, many others, Lord, that you would help them to live their life for you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. We didn't read it, but it goes on to say, and this is so interesting to me, and it's something that I would encourage you to look into, but do you remember the no-name prophet? And I believe it was Jeroboam, but it was one of those Boams, the sons of Solomon, that really did not do what God had asked them to do. And the no-name prophet came and spoke a word against him. And so much so that when the Boam reached out basically to take action against him, Jeroboam's hand withered, basically came as leprosy. And when it did, he cried out to the prophet and said, "Prophet, please entreat the Lord for me." And the prophet, God healed that hand. But the point is that God's hand was on this prophet. But God had told that prophet to not do anything else except go straight to and give the word and get out of there. Well, when word got out that this prophet had done that, another older prophet, which you have to ask the question, why was he not the one that God had went to, intercepted this young man and lied to him and said, "God has told me to come to you and invite you to dinner." And so the young prophet said, "Okay." So he went and ate. And while he was eating, God then gave the old prophet the word. "Because you, the no-name young prophet, have not done what I asked you to do, you will die this day." And there was a lion waiting on him when he left that city. It's all right there in God's word. Now watch this. So now, 300 years later in this chapter and in the Chronicles, Josiah doesn't just root out the high places, because what they would do is they'd build up an altar to Baal or Ashtoreth or whatever, and that was called a high place. It was a place of worship. And he rooted all of them out, tore them down, but that wasn't enough for Josiah. Josiah felt led of the Lord to dig up the false prophets of Baal and Ashtoreth, and he minced their bones to powder. I mean, just completely erased the history of idolatry. In other words, symbolically. Amen. When they found this prophet's bones, and it was told him what that prophet had done, he said, "Leave him alone." Because he did the wrong thing, but he did the right thing also. That's just fascinating to me. It's fascinating to me. And so Josiah, this 8-year-old kid who grew up, but he was absolutely trying to do what God had asked him to do. Church, very honestly, we could just hit right there. Are you and I absolutely trying to do what God has called us to do 24/7, day in, day out? The first thing that I want to talk to you about is the obstacles that Josiah had to overcome to be this godly young man. And church, every one of us have obstacles. We do. We have exits off of the ramp of righteous living. And if we're not careful, because of the obstacles, we'll take that exit off of the ramp of righteous living. And the Proverbs that says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." You always sell the truth at a loss. It's never a good sell to sell the truth. The first obstacle that he overcame was poor parenting. Now, we can't really speak to his immediate mother and father because the Scripture doesn't tell us. But his grandfather, the Scripture does tell us. His grandfather, and if you have much Israeli history in you from a biblical standpoint, and I'll confess to you that I'm the first one that always has to look back and try to refresh my memory and the such, but Manasseh was Josiah's granddaddy. Manasseh was told to be the most wicked king that ever ruled Israel. He ruled Judah for 55 years, from 698 to 642 BCE, longer than any king of Judah. Manasseh promoted idolatry throughout the kingdom, built pagan temples, and even sacrificed one of his sons to Moloch. So how wicked is wicked? He sacrificed one of his sons to a false god. I can't imagine. I absolutely can't imagine. And this who was Manasseh. Many of these high places that Josiah tore down, his granddaddy's hands was on that high place type thing. And so he overcame. I realize that any given Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we are not preaching to people that come from descendants, if you will, of Baptist preachers or fill-in-the-blank preachers. We don't necessarily have people represented here that have had, quote-unquote, good upbringings. But watch this. God is bigger than that. Amen. God is bigger than that. That does not have to be a limitation. It certainly is an obstacle, but it can be overcome. And he absolutely did that by the strength of the Lord, by the strength of the Word, by good mentors. And we're going to get into that later. Number two, and this is all under number one, obstacles. He overcame national history. I can't speak for you, but this is as what would the word relevant? Well, I don't preach out of the Old Testament because it's not relevant. My goodness. You want to know the decadency of our families? Talk to a public school teacher. They see it. It's a wonder. Many, if any, of these kids show up ready to learn because of what they're facing at home. And we're not putting anybody down. We're telling you of a reality. And so we have a nation that is going exactly through what Josiah went through, that Josiah had a rough upbringing, if you will, from a parental situation, and then he's got a national history that he has to overcome. And our nation, again, we've said this for the last 3 weeks, we're on fire. In many cities, we're on fire. And then if the riots aren't enough, we've got a pandemic that we're, quote unquote, running from, trying to keep safe and healthy and the such. And so we've got a national history that these young people are going to have to see as an obstacle and not an exit ramp to get off of righteousness. Well, God, how would you expect anybody to live for you in this situation? And church, he expects every one of us to live for him in this situation. He needs us to do that more than any other time, if you will, in history. He overcame national history. The nation was still an idolatrous nation. We are an idolatrous nation. We have talked about this, that once all this started in March, you know, and yeah, we're trying to open up. The NBA is trying to play. The National Hockey League is trying to play. The MLB is trying to play. The NFL wants to play. You know why, don't you? The mighty dollar. They're not trying to play to entertain you. They're trying to play to keep up their houses in Florida and Hawaii. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you, church, it is idolatry that is fueling the things that this nation does. Amen. Look at the entertainment business. It's idolatry. It's absolute idolatry. And even the good, what would the word be? The good sites on the internet, you can still, if you're not careful, get caught up. And you can take that exit ramp if you're not careful. You're one click away from a sin that could wreck your life on the internet, church. You are? I'm not against the internet. I'm against availing yourself to some of the stuff that's on there because it can destroy you. He overcame the status quo. Now, young people, you may not have been exposed to this yet, but you will be. Every adult in here knows exactly what I'm talking about. That once you get into a rut, once you get into a direction, it's so easy to just stay the course. And King Josiah would have had, quote unquote, an easier reign if he would have just kept the status quo. It says it later. We didn't read it here. But to do what he did, he had to kill some people. And not so much him. He was the king. He had them killed. He had the priests and the priestesses killed. And so it would have been so much easier. You know what? We're going to worship God and we're just going to let you good people do what you feel right to do, but you know, everybody wants to, we're going to worship God. No, see, Israel was not on that kind of a situation. Israel, very honestly, was not under the same covenant that America is. See, America is built on self-government. Israel was built on God government.
Amen.
You're going to do what I tell you to do, or you're going to suffer the consequences. Now, with that said, it's wise and smart for every American to sign up for God government. But in America, we give you the free choice to do that. Israel, there was no free choice. You're my children. You're going to do what I tell you to do, or you're going to suffer the consequences. That's the Old Testament. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. The New Testament is grace.
Amen.
Amen. And so he very much could have went the status quo. Now, guys, when you get the opportunity to take a loving stand for Jesus, you're going to face this obstacle. Just stay quiet. Let people say what they want to say. Let people do what they want to do. And everything's good. No, it's not good. Because if God does not have a mouthpiece, then what they're saying sooner or later comes to fruition, because no one's saying anything against it. I can take you to an article yesterday in Portland. This person called for the complete abolition of the United States of America. Get rid of it. She's calling to get rid of America as we know it. Get rid of the Constitution. Get rid of the police. Get rid of any force of normalcy or civilized. Folks, that's called anarchy.
Amen.
That's called absolute destruction of society. That, honestly, that's what they've got going on in Portland. And businesses are leaving. People are leaving because it's not safe. People are dying. And church, I'm telling you, we've got to find our voice.
Amen.
And we've got to be willing to speak against the status quo. Point number two. So how was he able to do this? How was he able to overcome the obstacles of poor parenting, terrible national history, and the status quo? He made good choices. Young people, you'll win or lose by the way you choose. You got to make good choices. Adults, you'll win or lose by the way you choose. He chose a new direction. I'm not going the way of Manasseh. I'm not doing the things that got my dad killed. I'm going a new direction. I'm going the direction that God wants me to go, no matter the cost. You live for yourself, you get assassinated, you go to hell. You live for God, you get assassinated, you go to heaven. I'll take those chances any day.
Amen.
Type thing. To go to heaven just because I made the right choice. He broke the chains. Now, there is a verse in the Old Testament that haunts us as adults and parents, and it should. And it's the verse that says that my love is passed down from generation to those that love me and live according to my words. But my judgment is passed down from generation to those that do not, to those that live their own way. And that's a rough BK paraphrase. Now watch this. Again, we've all had parents that have made poor choices. We've all had, or at some point in time in our lineage is what I'm getting at. But every one of us can break those chains and make the right decisions. Even within godly homes, there's some poor decisions that, if you're not careful, are passed down. And you have the responsibility to break that chain. I've told you guys about my dad, and I'm not going to go into great detail because my dad is in heaven, and I just want to honor him. But there was a struggle, something that he struggled, and I saw it. And I've told my kids, when I start to approach, you know, this age and beyond, you're going to have to love me enough to say, hey, Dad, you know, you remember what you said about your dad? Yeah, amen. I want to break that chain. I want to break that chain. I don't want to do that same action that my father struggled with. And church, we all can say that to some level. We saw the disparity, if you will, of I love the Lord, but we all see that. And let's break those chains. He chose good mentors. Now, we've talked about this a lot. The three chairs, If you are brand new to Christ, you need to be in chair number one. But as soon as you learn something about Christ, then you need to get in chair number two and teach the friends that you have that don't know anything about Christ. That this is something I'm trying to stress to people. Because we're all at different places in our life. Well, Brother Ben, I would teach Sunday school, but I just don't, you know, I just don't have that confidence, or whatever the case may be. Watch this. Do you know what you have to be and know and do to be a leader? You've got to be one step ahead. One step. And if you're one step ahead, then you can teach that person the step that you just took. Okay? And so, chair number two. Now, what's going on in chair number two? Somebody's in chair number three. That person is the mentor. Now, folks, we aren't in the Bible days. You understand that in the Bible days, they didn't have these. For the most part, they didn't have these. They had scrolls, okay? And so those weren't convenient. Those weren't digital. They didn't talk to you. You've got all of that available to you, and I'm telling you right now, even if you don't have brother or sister so-and-so that meets with you one time a week and pours into you, you can have David Jeremiah pour into you. You can have, I mean, fill in the blank. You can even get Gavin Hook's book and have him pour into you. You do not have to sit there and think, well, you know what? Nobody loves me enough to mentor me. There are books out the wazoo that you can be mentored by the greatest teachers of our day if you're just willing to be. If you're just willing to be. And you've got to be, you've got to see your need for that. He chose good mentors. So let me ask you these very difficult questions. Who do you hang around? Do you hang around godly people? I'm going to love you enough to ask you. Hang around someone that's not present? Who do you hang around? Someone that's not present? Who do you hang around? Because, folks, if they're not present and it's negative, you're talking about them. Dad and mom used to always joke about church members having fried preacher for lunch. Yeah. Apparently it happens. Apparently it happens. But this particular pastor has stood before you for 22 years and said, if you got an issue or a need, come talk to me. So, you know, I feel like I've done what I got to do, that if there's an issue, let's sit down.
Amen.
And we'll talk it through. But who do you hang around? How about this question? What are you listening to? Is what you are listening to, does it promote Christ? Does it push you to Christ? I'm not saying that you can't listen to anything that doesn't do those things as much as the amount. If this is all the Word of God you're getting once a week, you're not getting enough.
Amen.
If you're listening to, if you will, 8 hours a day of negative world speak, and you have a 5-minute devotional, that's not enough. And Josiah wasn't doing that. Josiah absolutely poured into God's Word. What about the games you play? Do the games you play glorify and magnify God? The music you listen to? How about what you read? You see, he chose good guidance. Godly men. All these men that we've read, godly men, Shaphan, Hilkah, godly men. God's Word, God's house. That's what he chose to get guidance from. Point number three, and we're almost done. Influence. What do I mean by that? Now, I didn't put it in here, but we've all heard, and if you haven't, you're fixing to, about the Prayer of Jabez. If you haven't read that book by Bruce Wilkinson, you need to get it, The Prayer of Jabez. It's something that the Holy Spirit is bringing back to me to pray the Prayer of Jabez. And I just on my memory, and that's always a sketchy thing, but he asked God on a daily basis that, will you bless me? Will you bless me today?
Amen.
Will you enlarge my coasts? Meaning, will you make me more of an influencer on other people? Will you protect me from hurting people?
Amen.
Oh, my That's a prayer a preacher should pray. Lord, please protect me from hurting people. And we all should pray that. And that's what the prayer of Jabez is. Now listen to me. He had influence. Josiah changed lives. Once he started tearing down the high places, everybody in Israel thought, okay, it's time to make a choice. And then, most likely, the Holy Spirit brought to memory when Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then they're thinking, you know what? We need to get back to that. We need to get back to that. In church, every one of us need to get back to that. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He modeled it. He modeled influence. It wasn't one way at home and another in public. I've joked with you guys about the whole, this whole 50 decade for me has brought a few cuss words back to vogue in my life. And I've got a snitch at the house, so every time I tell a cuss word, he runs to the house to tell, you know, Dad said so-and-so. I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for him. Because every time I fail, I need to own it. And I need to apologize. Now, church, I've shared with you the story that in college I trained myself that if I hit my thumb with a hammer and it split out on both sides, and sometimes that happens, instead of saying bleepity bleep bleep, I would say praise the Lord. I wouldn't say it that calmly, but I would say praise the Lord or hallelujah. Okay? And those are acceptable words. And those words will absolutely get the attention of people around you. And you know how I know that? Because I have had people come to me and say, Brother Ben, this is an exact quote. Kind of disappoints me that so-and-so comes to church here. What? Because I know how they are at work. I know the words they say. I know the things they do. This was years and years ago. Neither one of those people no longer attends, so don't try to figure it out. But do you see what I'm saying? So if we're having an influence on people with our negative words, just think what will happen when they hear hallelujah instead of bleepity bleep bleep.
That's right.
It will. Now, you'll be thought a weirdo, but they think that already. Yeah, it's all right. You might as well go ahead and prove them right. You know? All right. He modeled it. He expected it. Young people, you need to get to where you expect that your friends, neighbors, and relatives act a certain way when they're around you, not because you're going to judge them, but because they don't want to hurt your stance for Christ. They know, because I have people do that with me. One of the funniest stories, years and years and years ago, Angela Burris, I was a youth director, and Angela Burris had a boyfriend, Marvin Thurman, and Marvin Thurman had a stepdad. Not legally, but a stepdad. And I'm not going to judge anybody. We go coon hunting. And Leonard was a gypsy. And Leonard, it was blankety blank, 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 blank. Every once in a while, there was a common English word there. Marvin had his fill. And he said, quit. I got my preacher right here. And all you're doing is cussing. And Leonard said, oh, Brother Ben, I'm so blankety blank sorry. I'm blankety blank trying to quit. I've even blankety blank asked God to blankety blank help me. I said, Leonard, just quit talking. It's okay, man. We're good. You need to get things right with God. But we're good. And so, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, Marvin was influenced by my influence, and he was trying to influence Leonard, and it did. Leonard was one of those souls that had been brought up wrong, and he was trying like fear to change it. We're almost done. He inspected it. Now, this is a thing that I will tell you as a leader I struggle with, because I like everybody to like me, and I like everything to be okay. But a good, faithful leader will inspect. You've heard the expression, people don't do what you expect, they do what you inspect. And so every once in a while, you may have to have a conversation with somebody. Hey, I'm asking you to toe the line here. Please, I'll help you in any way you need me to. Unbelievable obstacles facing us. We have some of the most unbelievable obstacles facing us. We have some of the most unbelievable obstacles facing us as a nation, as families, as a church, as a community. God can overcome every one of them. Every one of them. We've just got to stay yielded, stay humble, and do what God has called us to do. Folks, we need to be seeking His face every day, putting on the armor every day, doing what He's called us to do. Share the gospel. Let's stand. Musicians, will you come? We're going to have one verse of invitation. And Connor, I was told that you would be okay with this, so if you're not, I can apologize to you later. Connor, in the next 48 hours, is going to be going to the Marines. Is that right?
Whenever they give
you a call. And they've told you to be ready within the next 48 hours. Amen. And so, as we do for folks that attend our church that goes to the military service, we like to pray over them before they go. And so after our invitation verse, I'll just call you up here, Connor, and your adopted family here. And we're just going to pray over you. We're going to pray safety over you and success and for God to use you for His glory. Would that be okay? Amen. Nothing like putting someone on the spot, right? All right. Here we go. If you've got any need whatsoever, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, this is an invitation. Please come. Don't tarry. We're having one verse. Will you come?